नामाचार्य श्रीला हरिदास ठाकुर की। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यनंदा श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की। ब्रजभूमि वृंदावन धाम की। नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की। पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। नमः पंकजनाभाय नमः पंकजमालिने नमः पंकजनेत्राय नमस्ते पंकजांघ्रिये। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपक कदामह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितां तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललितां श्रीविशाखान्वितांश। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च सिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमः ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिनि। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण। A hearty welcome to all of you on this afternoon's Sunday Love Feast program. In the first place, I seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees and even those who may not be here, because I am today sincerely depending upon your mercy so that I can speak a few words. Not hardly prepared for any talk today, because yesterday in the morning when I was on my way to Vada to take darshan of Sri Radha Madan Mohan, the newly installed deities, I got a phone call and I was told that please give the Sunday afternoon feast lecture. I said, hardly one day's time, and even yesterday I was completely busy in my office. I said, how can I? I have not had any preparation. They said, just go and speak. So I have just come to speak, and I am depending upon the mercy of all of you to please pray to the Lord so that He puts the right words in my mouth and what I speak may make some meaning. Hare Krishna. You know, now in the morning Bhagavatam series in the temple, what we are now discussing is the Uddhava Gita. And there was one verse in the Uddhava Gita which particularly caught my fancy. I mean, it has got such a deep ramification. I was wondering, my God, though I am in ISKCON for so many years, the truth has been revealed today. When I read that verse, just about a month or 2 months back, today I thought I'll share that verse with you, and the topic related to that we can discuss. So the topic for discussion today would be, books are the basis. I'll come to that verse. I'll actually read out the verse. I cannot read out the whole verse, but I'll read the translation. Even that will be only in part because it's a big verse. But anyway, the topic for discussion is, books are the basis. So, yes. I was wondering, we are having such a systematic, regular, structured morning program in the temple. Of course, this is the Sunday feast program. All the devotees have definitely attended the morning program. How many from here have not attended the morning program? Quite a few. Okay. So I would like to invite you for the morning program. Please come. It's there every day. Every day morning at 5 o'clock, there is Mangalarti. And it goes on up to 5:45. That is Tulsi Aarti, and then the curtain closes. Then after that there is Chaitanya Shikshashtakam, prayers are recited. And then there is about 2 hours time for chanting. And at 7:45 there is Shringar Aarti. How many here have attended the Shringar Aarti? Others have not attended Shringar Aarti at 7:45 in the morning. How many have not attended Shringar Aarti? So you should come for that. Come and see. There are so many things happening here in this temple, and it's all for your benefit. And we are going to discuss precisely about all these other activities that are taking place. How it has been structured, on what basis, who conceived this idea, and how it all started. So, Today, it's a regular phenomenon. It's happening in every temple of ISKCON, all over the world. More than 600 temples spread across the globe. And the same routine is being followed everywhere. So naturally, a lot of attention has to be paid to such a routine. Because it's going to influence so many people. It's going to deliver spiritual progress and benefit to all those who participate in it. So it has to be very carefully structured. Who could have done it? How have they done it? It's a matter of topic of interest. So, and that precisely was answered when I came across this verse. Before I come to the verse, I would like to give you a brief background. The word religion, do you know what does it mean? Can anybody guess an answer? Religion. Yes. Quality of human beings. Okay. Yes. Very right. Correct. I was looking for that answer. The Prabhuji has come out with the bullseye. Okay. Hit the nail on the head. He says the word comes from the Latin word legere. The Latin word legere means origin, starting point. And religion means re-legere. That means to go back to the origin, go back to the starting point. Every morning we leave our homes, right? Because we have to go out for work. Students go to schools or colleges. Others go out for their shopping and whatnot. Husbands go to work, wives go to shop. Okay. Nowadays wives also are working. So it's gender equality. Fine. So, but anyway, people go out for various reasons. But wherever you may go out, evening you are back home. That is why you have the peak hour traffic. In the morning, all the rush is towards the office area, church gate and VT. And the evening, all the rush is back to the residential area. So people travel to and forth. In the same way, just as in a city we observe people traveling to and forth, similarly, in our journey of life, also, we have come here from our home. This place is not our home. I don't mean the temple. What I mean to say, this temple is in true sense our home. But this world in which we are living and working, it is known as Karma Bhumi, is not our home. We are temporary visitors here. Any doubt about it? What is the proof that we have to go? Death. Sure as death. Nobody can escape death. It just takes you away from this place. That means we are like one who has entered a country with a passport and a visa, who got the visa stamped and you have entered. And you can remain there only till the expiry of the visa. When the visa expires, the authorities come, they show you the way out. Chalo. Here, the authority is Yamraj. He comes with his Yamadutas. For those who are pious, the authority is the Vishnudutas. They tell them, come back home, time to go. So then, if this is not our real home, then which is our real home? Any guess? Vaikuntha, very nice. The kingdom of God. We all come from there. We are all citizens of the kingdom of God. And we have come from there because we have committed offense over there. We are offenders. Don't feel bad. We are all sailing in the same boat. They say, when you have company, then misery is bearable. So, we are all offenders. Offenders in the kingdom of God. What have we done? What is the offense we have committed? We have revolted against the authority of God. Therefore, we have been sent to a place which is known as a reformatory, or in a crude way, you can call it as a jail. So, we are in a jail. And but where are the walls? A jail has to have walls. But this is the unique construction of the Lord. He does things in a very unique way, in a very different way. In this jail, there are no walls, but there are invisible ropes which tie us down. And these invisible ropes are the three modes. The mode of goodness, the mode of passion, and the mode of ignorance. Sattva, Rajas, Tamas. This information you will not get in the modern science textbooks. Scientists cannot investigate it because it is beyond the scope of the senses. And the ability of the scientists is limited to that which is perceived by the senses. In short, what the scientists are dealing with is only one part of science. It's not complete. It's known as material science. There is another section of science which is known as spiritual science, which is beyond matter. Matter is that which is susceptible to the senses. But beyond the scope of matter is an entire realm of existence, and that is known as spirit. And that is by far greater. Three times more than what is covered by matter. We are in this material universe, but beyond this is another sky, is another dimension of existence, which is known as spiritual or of spirit in nature. So we have come from that place. That is our origin, starting point, and we have come from there. So what is religion? It tells you how to go back home. If you are lost in a marketplace or in a crowd, what is the most soothing advice you would like to have? If you are lost in a marketplace or in a place which is alien to you, what is a very soothing advice that you will like to receive? How to go back home, isn't it? And that is exactly what Prabhupada has come to tell us. He says, back to Godhead, BTG, back to Godhead. So he has come to show us the way back to Godhead, the way back home. Go east, go west, home is the best, isn't it? Even today on your daily basis you will find, you may go to a 5-star hotel, you may go to some very sophisticated meeting, you may go to very wonderful places, but when do you feel relieved, comfortable, at ease? Only when you are back home. Even though it may be very simple and unsophisticated, it may be very, nothing worth mentioning about, but yet it is your home where you feel relaxed, absolutely at ease. That is what the soul is always searching for. We are not this body, we are the soul. That is the truth of our existence. And this simple truth, Prabhupada has given us in a very profound way. Dehinosminyatha dehe kaumaram yauvanam jaratatha dehantara praptir dhiras tatranamuhyati. That is given in the 13th verse, second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. That just as the soul, even while living within this body, it's continuously changing the body from infant to youth to middle age to old age. Similarly, at the point of death, the soul completely gives up this body and transmigrates to another body. Because now this body cannot serve the purpose of the soul. The nature of this body, matter, and the spirit is diametrically opposite. Matter is always in a state of flux. It always keeps changing. It is never constant. It is always moving. But spirit is unchangeable, achaloyam. It has no change. It is always the same. The simple fact can be understood by a very, very simple observation that all of us can do. We were infants when we were born. Then we were children. At the young age, we may not even remember what we did or said. But as we started developing our consciousness, we remember our childhood activities and pastimes and our friends. And as we grow through life, we have gone through youth, middle age, old age. This is the progression of life. And in your old age or in your middle age, when you look back upon your childhood days, you don't feel you are a different person, though the body has changed. Supposing there is a marriage going to take place and you have to exchange photographs of the boy and the girl. So the girl's family is very eager to know who is the boy, and the boy's family is very eager to know who is the girl. So when the photograph comes along and they send you a photo of your one-year-old child, how would you like it? Would you accept it or reject it? Accept it? Why would you reject it? The person is the same. There is no difference. The person will vouch for it. Yes, I am the same person. But what do you want? Current photo. As of now. Why? Because what has changed is the body. What has not changed is the soul. And the soul never changes. So the soul, at the end of the duration of this body, when the body cannot sustain any longer, it completely gives it up. And that is the point of death. This is known as the transmigration of the soul. It enters another body. But who controls that? Not you or me. It's beyond our control. The Supreme Lord Himself controls it. Karmana Daiva Netrena. Under the supervision of the Supreme Lord, these activities take place. And only He can infuse life into dead matter. It is beyond our capacity or scope to do that. You may try so many things in the laboratory. Scientists working non-stop in the laboratory, doing so many things. They have written a whole thesis, entire volumes and volumes of books. So many books, it can fill this entire room on a blade of grass. But you cannot make a blade of grass in the laboratory. That has to come from the field where nature plays its role, which is the natural forces at work, the forces of the Lord at work. Sunlight, soil, moisture, and all these things, when they come together, then you have a grass that you have grass which grows. You cannot make it grow in the laboratory. Even if you do it in the laboratory, you still need soil, you still need sunlight, you still need water. These are the basic ingredients without which you can't do anything. And these are not manufactured in any factory. They are naturally found. Naturally found means provided by the Lord. That's what it is. So, religion has four important principles. Any religion for that matter. And these four important principles are: or they are the pillars. Truthfulness, cleanliness, mercy, and austerity. Or another explanation for austerity is self-control. So these are the four important pillars of religion. We are not talking about any one religion in particular. We are talking about religion per se. So these are the four basic principles on which religion is based. And there are four methods by which we can cultivate these qualities in our life. And these are known as, or there are four activities or regulations which are given by which we can see to it that these qualities in our life are not destroyed. And these four regulations are known as the four rules that we follow in ISKCON, the four regulative principles of freedom. That's what they are described as. And they are: no intoxication, no meat eating, no illicit sex, and no gambling. These are the don'ts. You are not supposed to do it. If you avoid this, means these are the four pillars of sin. If you save yourself from these four pillars of sin, then you see to it that you protect the four pillars of religion. And to protect these four pillars of, or to avoid these four pillars of sin, we have been given four do's. These are the don'ts, the things that you are not supposed to do. But what are the things that you are supposed to do? And they are known as A, B, C, D. So it all comes in sequences of 4, 4, 4. So in this A, B, C, D, it has been nicely explained. It again is structured in a way that it suits your human anatomy. How does it work like that? Because what is our personality? We should know that. The internal structure of our personality. And that is given in one beautiful shloka of the Bhagavad Gita, which says, Indriyani parani ahur indriyebhya param mana manasastu param buddhir yo buddhir paratastu sah. Which says that the grossest level of our existence is the body. And this body is guided by the senses. So indriya means the senses. But then the sense objects attract the senses. So generally people feel the sense objects are more powerful. They can attract the senses. But it is explained here, actually the senses are more powerful than the sense objects. Indriyani parani ahur. Indriyebhya param mana. But stronger than the senses is the mind, which is the controller of the senses. This is the internal structure. But stronger than the mind is the intelligence, which can control the mind also. But then there is something above the intelligence, and that is your true self, the spirit soul. Indriyebhya param mana manasastu param buddhir. Higher than the mind is the intelligence. Yo buddhir paratastu sahab. But higher than this intelligence is the soul, the true self, not the body. Body is only the external coating, covering, cloth. If somebody is walking with a white shirt, you don't call him, hey Mr. White Shirt. He has a name, he has an identity. Today he is a white shirt, tomorrow he may be in a blue shirt. And that's exactly what's happening. The soul is continuously transmigrating from one body to the other. But the identity of the soul never changes. But the identity of the body keeps changing from species to species, from person to person. Therefore, we have to focus on that which is eternal, on that which is the truth. That is what the scriptures acquaint us with. This knowledge is of a very special kind. So four principles of religion, then four activities which will help us to protect these four principles, and then we have these four, the next thing that we discussed, and after that, this is what Prabhupada has given us in the, as a structure for our spiritual life. Then Krishna has something to say. Krishna, who is the creator and who knows each one of us intimately and who knows how the individual souls are behaving, so he has generally categorized the souls again into categories of four and four. He says, there are four kinds of people who surrender unto me and who follow my instructions and who abide by my teachings. And there are four kinds of people who defy and who will never surrender. And these are mentioned in the Gita. So, Chaturvidha Bhajante Mam Jana Sukrito Arjuna अर्थो जिज्ञासुर अर्थाति अर्थार्थी ज्ञानी च भरतर्षभ. दिस इज भगवद गीता चैप्टर 7 वर्स नंबर 16. फोर काइंड ऑफ पीपल हु विल सरेंडर टू कृष्णा, हु विल फॉलो हिज इंस्ट्रक्शंस, एंड दीज आर द सुकृतिनो. जना सुकृतिनो, सुकृतिनो मीन्स दोज हु हैव अ क्रेडिट ऑफ पायस एक्टिविटीज. ऑन द स्ट्रेंथ ऑफ दिस क्रेडिट ऑफ पायस एक्टिविटीज, their proclivity, their inclinations are therefore to surrender to the Lord. And then who are these four kind of people? They are the distressed, artho, those who are desiring wealth, artharthi, then those who are inquisitive, curious, jnani, no, jigyasu, and those who are in knowledge, the most matured of the four lot, of the lot of these four, and they are the ones who are in knowledge, searching for true knowledge, the ones who are searching for true knowledge. They have that propulsion within them. They are propelled to search for that knowledge. They are not at rest just by eating, drinking, and doing their daily activities. They want to go beyond that. They are looking out for something. They are searching for knowledge. They are having a quest. And the word quest leads to the word question. So they ask questions. And when they have these questions, then what happens? Then the Lord comes into the picture. Because the Lord does not need you to speak in language. He can capture your thought. Why? Because He is residing in your very heart, Paramatma. You are the Atma, He is the Paramatma. He is residing in your very heart. So He can capture your thoughts. He can know in which direction you are moving. And when He sees that yes, this person is moving in the right direction, then what does He do? He directs you to a bona fide spiritual master, a guru. And then what happens? The guru introduces you to the scriptures, that is the message of God, and then he puts you in the association of sadhus, that is those who are living their life on the basis of the teachings of God. So this way you are connected to three helplines the Lord has provided in this world. This is a place where people are generally forgetful of Him. But to reach out to Him, He has given us three helplines. And these three helplines are Sadhu, Guru and Shastra. These are the three helplines. So when we are fortunate enough to come in contact with any one of them, then that one helpline will connect you to the other two helplines. And when you are thus properly situated in the association of devotees, then what happens? Then your spiritual progress actually begins. And then you are on your way back to Godhead, on the way back home. That is the beauty. So, in ISKCON, for guidance for the coming generations, Prabhupada has also given us four guidelines. And these four guidelines are: preaching is the essence. Utility is the principle. Purity is the force. And books are the basis. So that is why we are going to today discuss more about this. How books are the basis. So, we find one thing when we come to ISKCON. We are not told that you should be completely knowledgeable, you should be completely in control, you should be absolutely fully informed, and only then you can say something. In ISKCON, the culture is, speak what you know. As soon as you come, the little that you know, share it with others. Because they are all looking for it. They may know it or they may not know it. So that is preaching, that's all. Preaching is nothing. It is not that you have to be a great expert, it is not that you have to be something out of this world. Nothing. You don't have to be an encyclopedia or you don't have to be a supercomputer to preach. Just the little that you know, you share it with the others. That is how preaching begins. Utility is the principle. There are organizations which say, oh no, we keep away from all these things. In ISKCON, it is not like that. Utilize everything in the service of the Lord. So the principle of applying everything is, utility is the principle. It is not that we are against modern gadgets. Some people say that a man of religion should not travel across the ocean. That is the ancient Hindu philosophy. Should not cross the seas. Even today there are people who follow a certain kind of religion. They will not go by car. They rather walk it up all the way. So there are such kind of doctrines that are in force. But here what we are given to understand is, utility is the principle. Prabhupada, he traveled the globe 14 times in the last 12 years of his life. And when somebody confronted him with this statement, a sadhu is not supposed to cross the ocean. So what are you doing going in jet lines like this? Prabhupada said, I would be very happy sitting under a tree in Mayapur and chanting the holy name. But what I find is, today the whole civilization is misdirected. And unfortunately, they are going at jet speed. So, I am also going in a jet just to catch them and bring them back and redirect them. So, utility is the principle. And purity is the force. There is a very common story which we all know, but I am repeating it for effect. A mother came to a sage and told him, oh sage, this boy of mine, he is eating a lot of jaggery. Good. He's eating too much of jaggery. Please tell him, should not do it. I have told him he's not listening to me, but you are a sage, so he will listen to you. So he said, you come after 10 days. So after 10 days when she goes, then the sage is telling the boy, okay beta, don't eat too much of jaggery. Eat in limits, not much of it. So the mother is puzzled. She says, but why? 10 days back you could have told him the same thing. Why in these 10 days you... Why did you take 10 days to tell him this? He said, 10 days back I was eating a lot of jaggery. So first I had to stop it. If I have to tell somebody that you should not eat jaggery, then I should stop it. So first I stopped it for the last 10 days. And now I have told him. So this is the principle. Purity is the force. You have to walk your talk. It isn't that you go on giving lectures and you say so many things and your own personal life, you are divergently opposite to that. Your words have no effect. That is where politicians fall flat. They talk according to the circumstances, but they never see to it that are they walking their talk. And when people say they are not walking their talk, then what happens? There's no conviction in the words. And that is what happened to me when I came to ISKCON. When I heard the speakers over here, I was so impressed. And then when I closely associated with them, then I was surprised to find that every word that they say, they follow. So purity is the force. Prabhupada himself in his own life, just by his purity, he influenced so many countless millions across the world. He went to America, he encountered the hippies. They were the outcasts of the civilized society and they were defying the standard society. They were defying the authority of the government. They were defying the authority of the elders. And in that circumstance, Prabhupada had faith in the words of the scriptures. And he said, simply if you begin to chant the holy name, your entire life can take a U-turn. And he says, I can make pure Vaishnavas out of you. And he did that. And when people asked him, what miracles have you got? One man said, there is one sadhu who can break a coconut. And when he puts it back, it becomes the original coconut, unbroken. Have you got any miracles like that? Prabhupada said, you can purchase a coconut for 25 rupees. So why do you want a miracle to join a coconut? But he says, my miracle is, see these young boys and girls. They were drug addicts, they were sex addicts, they were womanizers. They broke all the principles of decent human life. But see today, they are refined. They have completely changed the direction of their life. ask which sadhu can do this, which miracle man can do such kind of things. So this is purity is the force, and books are the basis. These books that we are having here, they are not ordinary. They are not like the run of the mill that you read and give it away. I am sure most of you have done your school and college, and you must be having your certificates. Okay? You might have done your graduation, your SSC, your PUC, and so many other words are used for all the qualifications. I am just asking those of you who still have all the books that you studied for your final exam. Anybody? What happened to those books? Why did you give it away? Why did you give it away? So see, this is the limitation of material knowledge. Material knowledge grows from the brain, from the books to the brain, and then down the drain. It goes away, doesn't remain. So that is the limitation of material knowledge. But spiritual knowledge goes from the heart of the speaker to the heart of the listener. These books, they actually are, the knowledge is supposed to be conveyed by the spoken word. That is why these shastras are also known as Shruti Shastra. Shruti means the spoken word. Shruti Shastra means, and Shrota means the audience who hears. So therefore, this knowledge is transmitted not simply by the mechanical process of getting it printed on a paper and then reading it. No. It has to go from soul to soul. That is from heart to heart. So it has got a living force behind it. That is, and that is why it has the potency to purify. Anybody who comes into contact with this kind of knowledge will be purified and will come out of negative influences. I want to share one real life story in this context. There was a friend of mine who came to this temple. He was not a friend before he came. He became a friend after he came. And he was working in the corporate sector. And every evening after office hours, he would invite his friends home. And he would tell them, please don't ask for tea or coffee. I can give you whiskey or rum. Choose your brand. You want vodka? What do you want? He would tell them. And so his friends and colleagues, they had a very nice time with him. And in course of time, he came into contact with ISKCON. And he started hearing these lectures. I was telling you, these words go from the words of the speaker to the heart of the listener. And in course of time, what happened was, he completely transformed. He gave up alcohol altogether. And even today, when devotees go to his home, he says, Mere ghar pe chai nahi, coffee nahi. Keval prasad hi milega. He has taken a 180 degree turn in his life. All on the strength of these books. The knowledge of these books. By giving submissive oral reception to the knowledge of this transcendental literature. So, this ABCD are the four processes by which we can implement these principles in our life. And how does it work? Just today morning I was talking to His Grace Radha Gopinath Prabhu, and he says it works in the reverse fashion. So he says, starting with D. D stands for deity, worship, or D also stands for diet. So devotees in their life, they follow the four things that they do. They worship the deities, one, and they eat only food offered to the Lord. That is known as prasad. Again, this is correlating to the internal structure of our construction. The outer body is the physical body, which is essentially guided by the senses. But these senses need to be purified. So they need positive engagement. So one of the positive engagement for these senses is to worship the deities. So when you worship the deities by making flower garlands, by dressing the deities, by offering incense, by offering aarti, by offering prasad, bhoga, by cooking for the deities, and in this way by organizing kirtans for the deities, and by organizing pravachans to be in the glorification of the deities, by doing all these things, when you engage in this process, automatically your senses get purified. Positive engagement to the senses. The senses are reaching for action. They will never keep quiet. They are like a small child. If you don't give them positive direction, they walk into the negative direction. Then they go for sense gratification. And they enter into sinful activities. So the best way to protect them is give them a positive activity. And that is deity worship. And also control the tongue by feeding only prasadam. Sevan mukhe hi jivadav swayameva surathyada. Na bhavet grahyam indriya. That's explained in the, by Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion. That the Lord and His actions are beyond the scope of the senses. And you cannot understand His message also based simply on the scope of the senses. Therefore, you need transcendental activity. You need that which is beyond the scope of the senses. That means something which is transcending matter, spirit. And the Lord is the Supreme Spirit. And anything in relation to Him automatically purifies the body, purifies the tongue. The tongue has two important functions, speech and eating. So when you begin to feed prasad on a regular basis, automatically the urge to eat junk is controlled. You don't like to eat things which are not offered. Then that automatically sets in motion a straight line approach. Everything becomes integral. Integrity means to have things in one straight line. Mind, body and words, if they are in one straight line, then you are integrated. So, then C stands for control of the mind. First control of the senses, then control of the mind. So mind can be controlled by the process of chanting. So when you chant the names of the Lord, automatically the wandering mind, the mind is like a child. It likes to jump from tree to tree and branch to branch. Like a monkey. A monkey is never going to sit in one place. So when the mind is uncontrolled, then your activities become uncontrolled. So therefore, to control the mind, the best method is to chant on a regular basis the holy names of the Lord. They have the potency to control that mind. It's an internal process. You cannot check it with a microscope. Then, the higher, in the higher hierarchy after that is the intelligence, which is higher than the mind. And for that, you need to study the scriptures. Study of the books. That is how these books are actually the basis. So when you utilize your intelligence in understanding the message of the scriptures, then that is worshipping the Lord by the study of the scriptures. Positive engagement to the intelligence. And if the intelligence is not positively engaged, then it again wanders into the negative direction. This intelligence is actually the servant of the mind. And the intelligence and the mind together serve the false ego. He is the real boss. Who is sitting behind the scene doesn't come in front. And that is why it is said ahankar or false ego. It is covered. It is, doesn't come in front of you. And therefore this mind and intelligence are his two assistants who are his proxies. They come in front of you. So intelligence will give you all the rational thoughts and thinking that will tell you to do things and activities which will not take you back to Godhead, which will keep you sustained in this material creation and the material world and drive you down in the wheel of karma. So therefore, study of scriptures is very important. And then, the false ego can be countered only when the false ego is controlled by the soul, the true self. And that is done by spiritual practices. So all the spiritual practices that we do, and these spiritual practices you cannot inculcate in your life sitting at home. You have to move out and associate with the devotees. Faith comes from those who have faith. It rubs off those who have faith. When you associate with them, that will rub off into your consciousness. It enters. It is like the process of osmosis. The nutrients which are there in the soil, they enter the root sap. Because the concentration in the root sap is higher, the concentration in the soil is lower. The concentration in the soil is higher and the root sap is lower. So therefore it will move from area of high concentration to area of low concentration. That is the process of osmosis. In the same way, this is spiritual osmosis when you associate with devotees. So therefore ABCD actually stands for association of devotees, then study of the books, then chanting and diet or deity worship. So this way, these processes, 4-4-4-4, they all go together to make you strong and put you strongly back on the path of back to Godhead. Now, I would like to come back to that One minute. Yeah. Here again, there is one nice story which will illuminate the points, because we are just giving theory, but when you couple the theory with the practice, then you are able to see how it actually works in real life. How these things actually translate into purification. Association of devotees, regularly studying the scriptures, chanting of the holy name and following the dietary restrictions and all these things. There is the story of Ajamil, who was a Brahmana, who was actually doing all these things. Not that he was not doing. But the senses are very powerful. So you have to constantly be on the watch and alert. So one day while he was going through the forest, he saw a prostitute. She was enjoying with a male. And that sight somehow made a deep impact on his consciousness. So even after going home, he was meditating on that activity again and again and again. And because of this, he was not able to control his senses. So he went back to the forest to visit that prostitute. And one thing leads to another and ultimately to the fall down. So this man who was living a rice regulated controlled life, just because of that one unwanted sight and an uncontrolled mind, he actually fell into the trap. And what happened to him? He was completely degraded. So it took time, but over a period of time, he drove his wife and children out of the house. He got the prostitute into the house and he started engaging in all illicit activities and all nefarious methods of earning money just to maintain her. He had so many children through her and all these things happened. So, our Sudama Prabhu, who is very good at creating puns, he makes puns and then he mixes the languages also, Hindi and English together, and he creates wonderful puns. So, he said, do you know why his name was Ajamil? We were wondering why. Because Ajamil told the prostitute, Ajamil. So he told her, Ajamil, and then the whole downfall started from that. Similarly, he also said that when somebody says, I have a headache, he says, what is there? Head ek hi hota hai, do nahi. Ek hai head. So anyway, so we see that this is a very powerful force in life. The force of sexual attraction. Attraction to the opposite sex. And therefore in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, verse number 11, Krishna says, Balam balavata chaham kamaraja vivarjita dharma viruddha bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshava. He says, I am the strength of the strong, devoid of passion and desire. I am sex life which is not contrary to religious principles, O Lord of the Bharatas, Arjuna. So what the implication here is, it is not that religious principles do not say that you must not engage in sex, but it only says you have to regulate it. It's a very powerful force. It is like fire. Fire is a very useful ingredient in our life. We need fire. It's a very useful element. In every house, there is the cooking flame. There is the gas stove, which we all use on a daily basis. In the kitchen, we use it. So fire is necessary. We cannot say, I will not use fire because it can result in danger. In the same way, it has to be regulated. And that is why there are these four principles of regulation. It is explained, there are two paths. One is the Nivritti Marg and the other is the Pravritti Marg. The Pravritti is for the materialistic people. They are so attracted to matter. They cannot see beyond matter. They cannot visualize the spirit. They cannot relate to the spirit. So therefore, how then to engage them on the path of progress? Therefore, this process has been given. The process of gradual elevation to Nivritti. Nivritti means to be liberated from the bondage of the materialistic reactions. Because in this world, anything that you do has a reaction. It gets back to you. So when you are tempted by sinful activities, then they implicate you in sinful reactions and then you have to suffer. And this vicious circle goes on and people are trapped in it. Therefore, the way to come out of it is process of gradual elevation. And therefore, this process of devotional service that has been given to us is a wonderful process that gradually elevates one from Pravritti to Nivritti. Krishna is naturally sweet. Now, another illustration to show you this point. How one can be elevated from Pravritti to Nivritti, from the materialistic concept to the spiritualistic concept. One has to move because ultimately we are spirit souls, we are not this body. To remain trapped on the bodily demands means we are going to be trapped in the materialistic clutches. So we have to come out of it. So how do we do it? So take one example. This will illustrate the point. Krishna is naturally sweet. He is all attractive. That is the meaning of the word Krishna. He is non-different from his name. That is his arrangement. Namna makari bahuda nija sarva shakti satrarpita niyamita smaranena kalaha etadrashi tapakrupa bhagavan mamapi durdaiva midrisham ihajaninanuragah. So he says in the Shikshashtakam prayers that I have packed all my potencies into my holy name. Just take my name and you will be purified just by the strength of my name. So that is the potency of chanting his holy name. Now, if you keep a rasgulla in one plate and chanting beads in another plate and you invite people, pick up the sweet dish, what will they do? What will they do? Rasgulla. Why? Because rasgulla is titillating the senses. It captures your senses. It gives you a sweet taste. And what about the chanting beads? What does it do? Dull and drab, chanting the name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That is how the materialist feels about it. But the spiritualist, he would not select the rasgulla. He would rather select the beads. Because in that, when he chants the holy name, he has already cultivated and developed a taste for the holy name. Because he has the taste, those who have not on the spiritual path, they have only cultivated taste for rasgulla. But those who are on the spiritual path have cultivated taste for the holy name. And therefore, they relish in the chanting of the holy name. And that gives them that amount of bliss which you cannot compare with the pleasure that the rasgulla gives. The rasgulla's pleasure is momentary. Still it is on your tongue, it is nice. The once you gulp it down, the taste is over. But the holy name has got the potency of enlightening you from within and igniting the flame of bliss in your heart. And that blissful nature keeps you enlivened, keeps you on high spirits. So, this is Prabhupada's simple process of giving us devotional service, engaging us in devotional service, and by gradually helping us to move from the gross to the subtle, from the materialistic to the spiritual. It is explained that if we are only stuck on rituals, then we are on the materialistic platform. We have to ultimately move from ritual to spiritual. And the way of doing that is by engaging in devotional service, initially sadhana bhakti, that is doing it as a matter of regulation. This is where the four regulative principles come into play. But later on, when that taste is gradually revealed from within the heart, when you begin to... For here I would like to share one little story. It's a real life incident that took place. There was a lady who was coming to our temple, and who started coming to our temple, because she happened to be visiting a church, and after a period of time, she was a UP Brahmin actually. But after a period of time, naturally, they told her, why don't you get baptized? Why don't you take a Christian name? At that point of time, she had a little thought in her heart. She said, at least let me try to understand the religion in which I am born. What has this got to say? So that set her thinking. And then she asked people, and then they guided her to ISKCON. They say, okay, if you want to know something about that, you go to this temple. She came here. And then she was asking various questions. She had so many questions. And one brahmachari guided her to me, and I was talking to her, and some time went by, almost a month went by. And I was inviting her to our meetings. She says, no, I can't come in the evenings, I'm busy. Okay, fine, no problem. Then it so happened that at that time, our Rath Yatra was being organized in Kulaba. So, I told her, okay, tomorrow morning we are going to make 5,000 khajas for Jagannath. So our whole team is going to be there making these khajas. Would you like to come and participate in that? She said, yes. So she came. And she served for 2 hours, sincerely making khajas. And on 2 days after that, when she came again and met her, she says, Prabhuji, mere sare prashnon ka uttar mil gaya mujhe. She said, all my questions have been answered, all my doubts have been resolved, simply by engaging the senses in the service of the Lord. This really happened. That is why I am sharing it with you. It's not a cooked up story. She is here. Even if you are interested, I can introduce you to her. But on a one-to-one basis. Okay? So, these are real life experiences. It is not that this is just a theory. It might have happened 5,000 years ago. Today, does it work? Yes, it does work. Because these are not based on anybody's mental speculation. It is not fabricated religion. It is bona fide. Bona fide means one which has been given by the Lord. And now I want to share with you what really inspired me to speak on this topic. Yes, it is here. This is Canto 11. Chapter 11, verse numbers 34 to 41, Srimad Bhagavatam. This is part of the Uddhav Gita. The title of this chapter is The Symptoms of Living Entities. And I am not reading the actual verse, but I am just trying to read the translation, and that too, I will have to read it in installments because it's a very big one. Here, Krishna is talking to Uddhava. So who is talking? That's very important. Krishna himself. My dear Uddhava, one can give up false pride and prestige by engaging in the following devotional activities. False pride, because in this world we are all covered with ignorance. We are not alive to the truth of our existence. That is why we are always in confusion. That is why we are in darkness. Knowledge is light, ignorance is darkness. And therefore, we are proud of the things for which we need not be proud of. That is why it is known as false pride. And this is our undoing in this world. And false prestige. Therefore, how to come out of this big trap? One may purify oneself by, this is the process of purification that has been given. And here, now I'll try to read step by step. So the whole list has been given. And when I tried to write it down yesterday night, the little time that I had after my office hours, it is a big list, but I am not going to burden you with the whole list, but we will be discussing it in parts. Yes, the total number of items that is mentioned over here is 48. And then it is mentioned, when you follow all these practices, simply, yeah. Whatever is most desired by one within this material world and whatever is most dear to oneself, one should offer that very thing to the Lord. Such an offering qualifies one for eternal life. So here, the first thing that the Lord mentions is seeing, that is darshan, touching, serving by worshipping, serving the deities of the Lord, by offering prayers of glorification, by offering obeisances to the deity form. Here, this is being spoken directly by Krishna to Uddhava. So please try to understand. Very often people ask a question. Why do you worship the stone image of the Lord? Ye to patthar ki murti hai. But here what the Lord is telling, he says, you should worship my deity form. Therefore, this is a bona fide and authorized process. This is what we should understand. So why are we having the deities in the temple? Because the Lord himself has authorized this process. This is what I wanted to share with you. It is not a fabrication of anybody's imagination. Somebody just felt, okay, if you do this, then people can be engaged in a proper way. No, it is nothing like that. It is direct message, direct. That is the beauty of it. So deity worship is not artificial. It is natural because it has been given by the Lord himself. Glorify my transcendental qualities, glorify my activities, hear with love and faith my glories, and meditate on me. Offer anything you acquire, accept oneself as my eternal servant, completely give oneself to the Lord. And something very interesting is coming up. Discuss my birth and activities. Enjoy life by participating in festivals such as Janmashtami. Participate in festivals in the temple by singing, dancing, playing musical instruments. Discuss me with other Vaishnavas. Celebrate annual festivals. Attend ceremonies. Attend pilgrimages. Go on yatras. Make offerings, follow vows like Ekadashi, take initiation, follow the Pancharatrika Vidhi, the method by which we follow the, we offer the worship to the Lord, and the method that we use for all the deity worship, that is known as the Pancharatrika Vidhi. And follow the other literatures which are given that explain these kind of processes. Support deity installation, construct temples jointly or by oneself, establish cities of spiritual importance, build flower gardens, have fruit gardens, have areas to celebrate the pastimes like Nauka Vihar of the Lord, become humble servant of the Lord, have no duplicity, keep the temple clean because it is my home, sweep dust, use water and cow dung to clean the temple, sprinkle scented water, decorate the temple, never advertise your devotional service. Because you are not doing any favor by doing devotional service. Actually, you are doing it for your own purification. So one should not advertise. Avoid false pride. But by thus doing devotional service in a humble attitude, you will be able to avoid false pride. Do not offer the lamps of the Lord for other purposes. That is, there are lamps which are burnt for the Lord as offering. So we should not use it. If there is no current or electricity, we should not use those lamps for our personal use. And offer what is dear to you. So, in this regard, there was a custom that if you go to Banaras, Kashi, you should give up that which is very dear to you. So, many people, when they would go to Banaras or Kashi, they would say, Karela chhod diya. Because it is very bitter. So here the Lord is specifying, offer what is dear to you. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he has given set a classic example. He gave up mangoes at the age of 5. He loved mangoes, but one day he forgot to offer mangoes to the Lord and his father chastised him. So as a repentance for his entire life, he did not touch mangoes. So that is the spirit. You should offer what is dear to you. Money is very dear, isn't it? And get eternal life. So see, what I wanted to share with you was, see all the things that we do in this temple as items of devotional service. Sometimes I used to ask this question before I had joined ISKCON or before I came into this organization. People used to come to my shop also asking for donations. In fact, once a very devotee from this temple came to my shop. At that time I had no knowledge of ISKCON, I had no knowledge of what is devotional service. But he came, he was in saffron, and he said, would you like to donate something? We are going to celebrate Janmashtami. So one thought came in my mind, if you want to celebrate Janmashtami, do it with your money now. Why you want me to give you money? This was the thought which came in mind. Whatever resources are at your command, utilize it. Why you want to go and collect from the people outside? Why you want to burden them? Do what you want in your own way. This was my thought process at that time. But see, what is the mercy of the acharyas on us? When I started coming to this temple, and the first time I was told that go collect donations and take these coupons and go out, I said, my God, this is against my internal belief. I thought I must not go and ask. I feel like a beggar to go ask money. But then I was told, it is a humbling process. Start it. You have to become humble if you really want to progress on the path of devotion. So even when you go and ask people for some donations, you are actually humbling yourself in front of them. But please remember one thing, whenever you ask for donations, it is entirely between the Lord and them. You are just an intermediary. If they say no, then that is their answer to the Lord. If they say yes, then that is their service to the Lord. But then, it is between them and the Lord. Then the Lord will deal with them, because He has an ongoing relationship with them, which you do not know. You are just an instrument of the Lord's mercy. So just become an instrument in the Lord's hand. That is the perfection of your life. That is how we can
you know, be happy even to hear a no. Even if somebody insults you, it is not your insult. Beautiful words of Mother Teresa also. When people criticize you, when people deride you, she says, just do it. Do not stop it. Ultimately, it is never between you and them. It is between you and the Lord. That is how it is. So whatever you are doing it for the pleasure of the Lord. So when you have that consciousness, then you are never disturbed. You are never disturbed by all this kind of activities. So now, I just wanted to share this with you. That just see how this entire system is so beautifully organized. But none of these things are done whimsically. They are all authorized and bona fide. And therefore I say, books are the basis. All these things are taken from the scriptures. So many practices, so many activities that we do are all guided by the Lord's direct instructions given in the scriptures, in the books. And therefore when we do this, then what happens? We are perfectly placed because it is authorized by the Lord. And when it is authorized by the Lord, we don't have to worry about the results. The results He awards. We only have to make ourselves an instrument in His hand. Karmanyevadikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana ma karma phalahe turbur mate sangatva karmani. A very famous verse of the Bhagavad Gita, most of the people quote it. But the best part of it is, Krishna is telling us, the only right you have is to do your duty. Not ever to the results of your action. You have no right on the results of your action. Today's corporate philosophy is, give me results. Show me results. And that is why people come under stress. It is not in your control. What can you do? You can only act. Results are not in your control by definition. And therefore people get heart attacks, depression, blood pressure, hypertension. These are all not diseases which are born out of bacteria or infections, but they are because of a defective lifestyle. So one needs to have an internal correction. We cannot change the world. We have to survive in this corporate culture. So what do we do? So we have to change our consciousness. The change has to be within. We need not change the world outside. Let the world flow in its own pace. But if you change yourself and if you attune your consciousness with the consciousness of the Lord, then you are Krishna conscious. Because the conscious of the Lord is Krishna. So when you are in tune with His consciousness, then you are Krishna conscious. And then when you are Krishna conscious, you are on the path of perfection. So just to summarize briefly, all these things that we spoke today, what is our true identity, what we are supposed to do in life, and how to go about, I have tried to put it in a nutshell. The world is a trap, and caught you will be. In the web of the spider, like the fly or the bee. Your house and your spouse, your children and wealth, your status and standing could be astounding. But if you lose sight of the goal of your life, then these very things could land you in strife. Caught in this net, as you try to flourish, the spider of death will cause you to perish. But fear not, O soul, if clear is your goal, your Lord and your Master can stem your disaster. To love God and serve Him is your true goal. With mind, words and body, your life and your soul. Ask not for gratis, for nothing is yours. He is the master and you His servitor. The things of this world that you may acquire, quite often in life you do not require. All through your life, all your life through, thus say your guru, please God and serve Him and you will sail through. That is the key to success in life, not chasing the horizon that's never to arrive. The chant of His names
like the sun in the sky, will wipe out the mist that covers the eye. Clear up your vision, come out of illusion, accept His grace and be free of confusion. Chant then His names, 16 in number, wake up dear soul from your deep slumber. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. We have 5 minutes time. If anybody has any questions, comments, corrections, please you can share them. Otherwise, we can stop here. And yes, today I think at 4 o'clock we are having Kirtan Mela, right? And there are wonderful devotees to perform that Kirtan Mela. And this is the Yuga Dharma, Sankirtan. So, and actually when you participate in these kind of festivals and events, it naturally purifies the soul. So if anybody has any comments or any questions, otherwise we can stop here. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Babuji.
Hare Bo.
Dandavat Pranam. Thank you for your nice, wonderful explanation. My question is, in fact, you are telling in the lecture that Lord Himself tells to worship His deities. So can you please help me with the what verse in which Purana it is mentioned?
I just read you from the Bhagavatam. This is what I read you.
So can you
please... That's why I'm telling books are the basis. It's nothing is imaginary, nothing is speculation. It is in black and white.
Yeah, can you please...
I read this thing, no? It is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 11, verse numbers 34 to 41.
Canto 11, Chapter 11.
Verse numbers 34 to 41.
34 to 41. 41. Thank you, Prabhu.
Welcome.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you very much for your wonderful lecture. One thing what I would like to ask is that today's education system, where we talk about the Big Bang Theory and where we talk about the Darwin's Theory of Evolution, where I feel it is totally fake and wrong. So, when books are basics, why not Indian government think about changing the portion and Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita should be taught in our school? What is your opinion about that?
The answer is very simple, because there are some schools which in Bombay have tried doing it, but they have failed miserably. The answer is, the knowledge that is imparted in schools and colleges is academic knowledge. It is actually material knowledge. As I told you, material knowledge goes from the book to the brain and then down the drain. The proof you all saw, I asked how many of you have your books still with you that help you to get your degree. The books have all gone. And how much of that knowledge have you used in life? That is also another question. But the knowledge of the scriptures is the one which comes in the Guru Shishya Parampara. And this Guru Shishya Parampara is something in which you do not join by taking a formal admission. You don't go to a, just as you go to a school and take a formal admission. Okay, I am qualified, I will pay the fees and, you know, I stay in so and so place and all these things. You can give your data and then afterwards they say, okay, you can join the school. But in the Guru Shishya Parampara, you are not admitted by any of this process. The process is internal. What happens is, you need to have that quest in your heart. You want to find out what is the truth of existence. You want to find out who God really is. And when you want to have these kind of questions answered, you cannot get these answers by Google search. It is not by going out to the library or the bookshop and looking for books and texts where you will find, where can I find the true guru. It doesn't happen by that method. You have to connect to the Lord from inside your heart. Your, in Hindi they say, tadap honi chahiye dil mein. That craving has to be there to arrive at the truth. When that is there in your heart, when you are searching sincerely, it will take time, not immediately. But the Lord connects you to a bona fide guru.
And when you are connected to that Guru, and when you follow the instructions of that Guru, it's only then this knowledge is revealed. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Naham prakashe sarvasya yoga maya samavrita, mudoyam nabhi janati logomam ajamavyayam. He says, I do not reveal my light or my knowledge to everybody. People are covered, some avrita, avrita means covered, by ignorance. Why? Because they don't have the genuineness of that inquiry is not there. Therefore, this process is different. It is an internal process, it is a natural process, and therefore the only place to get this knowledge is the temple. Temple is a place of learning, spiritual knowledge. And this cannot be imparted in schools and colleges. That is a place for getting material knowledge. I am in no way disqualifying material knowledge. I don't say you should not go to schools. It is required. It is necessary. But it is only partial. It is not complete. You have to blend it. You have to supplement it with spiritual knowledge. Then you come to complete knowledge. Material knowledge is required. We don't have to shut down schools and colleges. At the same time, spiritual knowledge is required. So we have to encourage temples. So when you have these temples where this spiritual knowledge is disseminated in a natural fashion, then people who come with a background of material knowledge, that is why you see the brahmacharis in our temple. They are all highly qualified. They have material knowledge. But why is it that they have not pursued that path of material culture? Because somewhere they felt the need that they need to enter the higher realms of life. They need to understand life more completely and make their life truly meaningful. And that is why they have entered the path of spirituality. And when you do this, then there is a proper blend of matter and spirit. And then there is a complete wholesome knowledge is then available to the person. And on the basis of that, people can progress. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, please be seated. There are a few announcements to be made. First of all, we would like to welcome